Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. A brush fire disrupted Thanksgiving dinner for some residents in Hamul, but thanks to firefighters, families there still have much to be grateful for. The holiday week also saw a boost to local firefighting efforts with the addition of two new sheriff's firefighting helicopters. On Crime Beat, hear how El Cajon's new license plate reading cameras helped identify a getaway vehicle and the arrest of two murder suspects. Plus, hear about the arrest of a woman who allegedly tried to kidnap a baby from a shopping cart in Santee. Before you deck the halls this holiday season, we'll have some safety tips on holiday decor that can be harmful to pets. From California News Service, we'll have a report on a study that's found young people suffering depression due to concerns about climate change and natural disasters. Now, if you've purchased a range oven appliance made by Z-Line, listen up. Many of these were recalled due to leaking carbon monoxide earlier this year, but even after repairs, some are still emitting dangerous levels that could cause carbon monoxide poisoning. Consumers are advised that the manufacturer will now provide refunds, so you should stop using these potentially deadly models. On Destination East County, we'll have lots of holiday happenings coming up, from tree lightings and elaborate light displays to a holiday craft fair, the North Pole Express train ride, a pottery studio tour, a performance of the Nutcracker Ballet, outdoor ice skating, Christmas with the animals at Lions, Tigers, and Bears, and much more. From Public News Service, we'll have some national news stories, including the latest on the hostages freed by Hamas, a Democratic challenger to President Joe Biden, new federal labor rules, and more. El Cajon's City Council has taken action to house homeless dogs, and we'll have details. We'll also have news about a ballot initiative to create education savings plans for parents who want to send children to private schools, and why some educators oppose this plan. On People Power, hear about a rally in El Cajon to help homeless youths. Santee has approved a new Ukrainian church, and we'll have details. On Sounds of History, Lemon Grove Historical Society member Helen Oldfield reflects on memories of holidays gone by. Then we'll have some holiday trivia facts to liven up your next holiday gathering. On Green Scene, learn about a ban on gas mowers coming soon in California. And finally, we'll have some Christmas tree safety tips to share. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters.
A brush fire disrupted Thanksgiving for some households in Hamul. The Sage Fire started mid-afternoon near Highway 94 and Vista Sage. Fueled by Santa Ana winds, the fire burned at a critical rate of speed, so mandatory evacuations were ordered for nearby residents. California Highway Patrol shut down Highway 94 between Steel Canyon and Lions Valley Road. Some residents had to flee the area on surface streets, while some holiday guests were unable to enter the area, causing cancellation of some holiday dinners with turkeys already in the oven. Structures were threatened as firefighters worked through Thanksgiving evening to douse the blaze, with help from a sheriff's helicopter making aerial water drops. Firefighters held the blaze to 39 acres, and displaced residents are grateful that no homes were lost and no injuries were reported. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
Two new state-of-the-art helicopters have joined the San Diego County Sheriff's Department Air Fleet as part of the department's commitment to safeguarding communities. Sheriff Kelly Martinez unveiled the new fire helicopter and patrol helicopter, a $21 million investment for both, at the Aerial Support to Law Enforcement Agency's base in El Cajon. These helicopters support first responders in meeting demands of their critical roles. They represent a commitment to regional safety and preparedness and will be used whenever they're needed, she said. Every second counts in an emergency. The new helicopters are a regional asset and significantly enhance the department's ability to respond to emergencies. The new fire helicopter is designed to operate in challenging environments and weather conditions typically encountered during firefighting missions. The Sheriff's Department cooperative work with CAL FIRE will continue with 7 firefighters on board during fire calls. These coordinated efforts are crucial in stopping fires before they become catastrophic. County Fire and CAL FIRE San Diego Unit Chief Tony Meacham says the new helicopter will dramatically improve our response to both wildfires and our ability to rescue people in remote areas. The new patrol helicopter is dedicated to law enforcement operations 24 hours a day, and it has a cutting-edge flight deck with precision navigation, allowing pilots to accurately track and respond to incidents. Its powerful engine makes it fast in responding to emergencies, and it's equipped with a bucket to help with water drops during a fire mission. Funding for these helicopters came from the department's budget and Prop 172 funding. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. Two suspects have been arrested for the fatal shootings of two teenagers back on October 28th at a house party on Mahogany Drive in El Cajon. Officers responded to a series of 911 calls reporting a loud house party and multiple gunshots. Arriving officers saw numerous people fleeing the area and found two male shooting victims ages 16 and 18. Both were critically wounded. Despite swift medical attention, both victims died of their injuries after being transported to local trauma hospitals. Thanks to the city's new Flock Safety automated license plate readers, El Cajon police detectives were able to identify the getaway vehicle used in the crime, says Lieutenant Will Guerin. Two suspects, 21-year-old Bruce Liu and 24-year-old Dan Naleb, both of San Diego, were identified. Naleb was taken into custody November 19th by Chula Vista police for an unrelated firearm charge. On November 20th, with help from the U.S. Marshals Service Fugitive Task Force and the East County Regional Gang Task Force, El Cajon police officers and detectives apprehended Bruce Liu in San Diego. Search warrants were later served at their residences. Liu and Naleb are being held without bail in the county central jail on first-degree murder charges. At the request of the families, El Cajon Police Department is not releasing names of the victims at this time. This investigation is ongoing, and anyone with information is asked to call the El Cajon Police Department at 619-579-3311, or you can share information anonymously through Crime Stoppers at 888-580-8477 or online at sdcrimestoppers.org.
This is John Tidwell with a Crime Beat report. A woman has been arrested for attempting to kidnap a baby in the Costco parking lot in Santee. 21-year-old Isela Ortega is accused of trying to remove a 1-year-old child from a shopping cart. Fortunately, the child had a lap belt fastened that prevented the abduction from succeeding. The suspect took off on foot, prompting a search by sheriff's deputies on foot as well as by helicopter, but she was not immediately located. The sheriff sought help from media and the public, asking for any camera or video footage in the area. The next evening, Ortega was arrested in Chula Vista. She is charged with attempted kidnapping and has been booked at the Las Colinas Detention and Reentry Facility in Santee. Lieutenant Chris Galve says, "The San Diego County Sheriff's Department and the Santee Sheriff's Station would like to thank the public and the media for their assistance and cooperation."
It's time to deck the halls for the holiday season, but some holiday decorations can pose safety hazards for your cat or dog. So San Diego County's Animal Service Department is offering these tips to protect your pet. Keep pets away from mistletoe, holly, and poinsettias, since these are toxic to animals. Consider using artificial holiday plants instead. Chocolate is toxic to pets, so keep stockings with chocolate treats out of reach, as well as any chocolate cookies you might leave out for Santa. Anchor your Christmas tree so pets can't tip it over. Clear fishing twine tied to the top of the tree and secured to a ceiling or wall is a simple way to keep your tree standing and protect your ornaments too. Never use tree preservatives in water in your Christmas tree stand, since this can be deadly if cats or dogs drink it. Cats love to play with tinsel and curling ribbon, but then they'll try to eat it. Tinsel is toxic and ribbon can obstruct your pet's intestinal tract, so keep these items away from curious critters. Hide electrical cords from your pets and make sure they can't play with or knock over any candles. Many dogs and cats get overwhelmed with all the hustle and bustle of the holidays, so having a quiet room allows them to escape and sleep undisturbed. On New Year's Eve, loud booms from fireworks can scare your canine companion. Some dogs will jump over fences to escape the noise. They run for miles and become lost. So set aside a safe, quiet place and be sure your dog is wearing identification just in case. Microchip both dogs and cats, since they slip out the door unnoticed while you're busy greeting holiday visitors. And if someone finds your lost pet, a vet's office or shelter can scan for a microchip, and you can easily be reunited. County Animal Service offers low-cost microchipping every Tuesday through Sunday, which includes national registration. You can also sign up for Finding Rover and upload a photo of your pet using your computer or smartphone. This free service uses facial recognition to help lost and found dogs be reunited with their owners. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Chardé Fontenot.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
New research says natural disasters and pollution linked to climate change are contributing factors to high rates of anxiety and depression among young people. Researchers from San Francisco-based Hope Lab consulted experts and interviewed youth climate activists to determine how climate impacts, like wildfire, extreme heat, drought, flooding, and air pollution, are affecting young people's mental health. Dr. Emma Bruhlman-Senecal is research lead at Hope Lab and the author of the Climate Generation blog.
We are focusing on climate change because Hope Lab's mission is to support the mental well-being of young people, particularly those from communities that have been underinvested in. And it's clear that climate change is deeply impacting youth mental health, particularly the well-being of youth of color.
Hope Lab's findings recommend more funding for youth-led activism, but they also recommend making mental health services more accessible by locating them in places where young people spend time, such as schools and community centers. Another Bay Area nonprofit, Youth Truth, paired up with the Sonoma County Office of Education to survey students over the past 8 years. The county's Youth Truth lead, Jessica Progolsky, says after 2017, when thousands of homes burned down in a series of wildfires, reports of depression and anxiety shot up.
Some of the early research around resiliency indicates that the ability to do something about it as a student has the potential to offset some of the later health risks associated with childhood adversity in spite of climate change and climate anxiety and dread that comes with it.
So the Community Foundation of Sonoma County launched the Environmental Justice Coalition, which partners groups of students with a mentor to work on local environmental issues. Jimmy Simpson, director of partnerships with Youth Truth, says the disruption of the wildfires, followed by COVID, took a toll early on.
There was a definite correlation between students significantly impacted relating to less positive perceptions around engagement in school, as well as their sense of belonging and academics.
More recent surveys show, while the immediate impact of the firestorm has lessened, episodes of anxiety and depression continue to affect school performance. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Back in January, Z-Line recalled about 30,000 gas range oven appliances due to carbon monoxide leaks. But now, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission warns that repairs have failed to fix the problem. Consumers who own a recalled Z-Line gas range oven combination should contact the manufacturer for a full refund due to the danger of the oven potentially causing deadly carbon monoxide poisoning, even if you already had a unit repaired. The ranges were made in China and sold at major national retailers and online outlets, including Home Depot, Lowe's, Best Buy, Costco, Overstock.com, Wayfair.com, and TheRangeHoodStore.com. The recall includes three sizes and several different color lines. At least 175 reports of carbon monoxide emission from the ovens and Z-Line ranges have been reported, including 131 after the repairs were ordered. Three consumers have required medical treatment for carbon monoxide poisoning. The gas ranges were sold from February 2019 through December 2022 for between $2,300 and $6,900. Consumers should not use these ranges or ovens and should contact Z-Line immediately for a full refund. You can call Z-Line toll-free at 833-226-1400 or contact Z-Line through their website at zlinekitchen.com. Reporting for East County Magazine from KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This is Miriam Raftery with this week's Destination East County. December brings the magic of the holiday season with many delightful events and activities. This year's options in East County include the North Pole Express train ride in Campbell, outdoor ice skating rinks in Julian and Alpine, a pottery tour and a Crest Craft Festival idea for holiday gift shopping, elaborate holiday lighting displays at Santee Lakes, in Tarrant Village in Spring Valley, and Camp Christmas in Pine Valley. There's a performance of the Nutcracker Ballet in El Cajon, and a contemporary twist on the Nutcracker performed by Kids Dance Company in La Mesa. Plus, you can enjoy tree lighting ceremonies in Lakeside and Ramona, go caroling on Mount Helix, enjoy La Mesa's Holiday in the Village, and Lemon Grove's annual holiday bonfire. Here are the details. Julian Farm and Orchard will be transformed into a winter wonderland with the first ever ice rink from November 10th through January 1st, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This skating arena is a synthetic and water-free ice substitute that aligns with Julian Farm and Orchard's commitment to sustainability. You can rent their ice skates or bring your own. You can also enjoy snuggling by outdoor fires, roast marshmallows, enjoy holiday tastes, and taps. Reserve your spot online at julianfarmandorchard.com. Pacific Southwest Railway Museum invites you to take a ride aboard the North Pole Limited Railway each Friday and Saturday, now through December 16th, departing at 5 p.m. and again at 7. The fun starts at the festive Campo Depot, where guests can pick up tickets and browse the holiday items in the gift shop. Once aboard the North Pole Limited, a crew of elves will regale you with holiday songs and stories, serve hot chocolate and fresh cookies, and more as the North Pole Limited winds its way through the beautiful backcountry on its way to the North Pole, where it stops at Santa's workshop. There it will pick up Santa and Mrs. Claus, who will visit all passengers on the train ride back to the Campo Depot. For tickets, visit psrm.org. Pine Valley's Camp Christmas continues December 1st through 23rd from 5:30 to 9 p.m. There, you can view thousands of computerized lights strung on trees and a spectacular water show, both synchronized to holiday music. You can also enjoy hay rides, bounce houses, laser tag, tree climbing, and many other games and attractions for all ages, plus tasty food options. Get the full details at pinevalleycampchristmas.com. The largest outdoor ice rink in Southern California is at the Viejas Outlet Center in Alpine, open now through January 7th from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. daily. Skate rentals are available. You can also enjoy holiday shopping at the Outlet Center's many shops. For more information, visit viejasoutletcenter.com/skating-rink. Santee Lakes will host its Lights at the Lakes Holiday Light Show December 1st from 6 to 8 p.m. This event features 1 mile of over 100,000 lights and more than 35 larger-than-life displays all synced to your car radio. Tickets are available at SanteeLakes.com. Elves are hard at work getting ready for Christmas and working with the Lakeside Chamber of Commerce on their Spirit of Christmas event. The festivities will be held Saturday, December 2nd from 3 to 7 p.m. along Main Avenue in the heart of historic Lakeside. Everyone is invited to come and enjoy an old-fashioned hometown celebration, complete with all the sights, sounds, and scents of Christmas, including shopping, holiday treats, Santa arriving at 4:30 p.m., a community tree lighting at 5 at the Old Presbyterian Church, local youth performances, kids' activities and craft booths, and a mailbox to send letters to Santa at the North Pole. The Ramona Chamber of Commerce will host its annual Christmas tree lighting December 2nd at the Guy B. Woodward Museum on Main Street. The event runs from 5 to 9 p.m. with the tree lighting at 7. Enjoy holiday decorations, late shopping and dining, classic cars, live music, vendors, kids' crafts, dancing, carolers, photos with Santa, and more. You can find full details at RamonaChamber.com. La Mesa's historic downtown transforms into a Victorian-style village for the city's annual Holiday in the Village event, Saturday, December 2nd, from noon to 9 p.m. This event is held in the heart of La Mesa's downtown along La Mesa Boulevard between Spring and 4th Streets. Visitors can stroll La Mesa's historic downtown while exploring dozens of local craft vendor stands, then cozy up with artisans and craft foods. Friends and family can relax by fire pits while enjoying holiday caroling, cheerful holiday music, and fun live entertainment. You can also take selfies with Santa, and kids can enjoy a children's area bigger than Santa's toy shop. The City of Lemon Grove will host its 24th annual holiday bonfire on December 3rd from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Traganza Park on Main Street. The event includes live music, food booths, arts and crafts, a rock climbing wall, game truck, cookies and hot chocolate, and a giant bonfire to light up the night. Kids Dance Company presents The Nutcracker in a Nutshell at MPD Performance Space in La Mesa on December 8th through 10th. It's a new take on the classic tale. Clara visits the land of the squeaks each winter for Royal Rat's Grand Cheese Ball. The Cheese Fairy brings treats and plans magic for the festive event, but she is captured by evil Nutcracker and his nutshell trappers. Clara must now travel through the kingdom of the woodland animals and rescue the Cheese Fairy to save the Cheese Ball. For tickets and details, visit visionarydancetheater.org. Christmas on Mount Helix returns December 9th from 4 to 8 p.m., complete with a Christmas market to shop for holiday gifts, caroling, crafts, food trucks, a holiday program, and Santa Claus. Shuttles are available from Grossmont High School or for members of Mount Helix Park. There are parking spaces available at the fire station on Vivera. Find details at mounthelixpark.org. You're invited to Christmas with the Animals, a fundraiser for the Lions, Tigers, and Bears Sanctuary in Alpine, where you can watch the heartwarming spectacle of animals unwrapping their Christmas presents. It's a delightful moment to warm your heart. The event takes place Saturday, December 9th from 2:30 to 7:30 p.m. with animal feedings from 3 to 4. There's also a festival of lights there, hot cocoa and holiday beverages from a full bar, as well as a gift shop where you'll find special holiday gifts for those on your list. All proceeds support the rescued animals at Lions, Tigers, and Bears, our region's only accredited exotic animal sanctuary. Tickets are available at lionstigersandbears.org. The 16th Annual San Diego Pottery Tour features 11 open studios with works of over 35 ceramic artists. The self-guided tour is held December 9th and 10th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. It includes several artists in or near East County. Visitors can peruse hundreds of pots and other items ideal to purchase as gifts or for you to enjoy. All of the artists have been busy making useful pottery items like plates, cups, bowls, and pitchers, plus sculptures, vases, planters, and more. Get a map and details at sdpotterytour.com. Ho ho! Santa will visit the Crest Christmas Craft Show on Sunday, December 10th. This event will be held at the Crest Clubhouse on North Park Boulevard in El Cajon from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The family-friendly event features crafts, food, and music. Santa Claus will join the festivities, arriving on a fire truck between 4 and 6 p.m. On December 16th at 1 p.m., the San Diego Ballet brings the Nutcracker Ballet to the Magnolia Theater in El Cajon. The Nutcracker features Tchaikovsky's timeless musical score and an international cast of more than 100 beautifully costumed dancers, sugarplum fairies, leaping Cossacks, and flurries of snowflakes swirl across the stage in this magical journey through a young girl's imagination. Find tickets at magnoliasandiego.com. NOAA Homes in Spring Valley will present its 6th annual Enchanted Village December 15th to 22nd from 5 to 8 p.m. Drive through 8 acres of holiday lighting with magical cottages, light tunnels, and over 1 million lights. You can also enjoy live musical performances, carolers, hundreds of candy canes and Christmas trees, holiday displays, and more. All proceeds benefit NOAA Homes, a nonprofit providing housing and care to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. For tickets, you can visit enchantedvillage.org. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
California has just given approval for signature gathering for a proposed state ballot measure to create education savings accounts with $17,000 a year per student that could be used at any accredited private school in the country. Opponents say the move would hurt public schools, but Kevin McNamee, a community college professor spearheading the proposal, says low-income families should have choices that are not limited to their local public school.
And if that local public school is giving a poor education, which leads to a poor-paying job, it continues the cycle of poverty. This puts the low-income families, moderate-income families, on par with the same educational options as the wealthy families here in California.
The Secretary of State estimates the program would cost up to $10 million a year, money that would otherwise go to public schools. The initiative would reverse the state constitution's ban on public funds for religious or non-religious private schools, and it would place no limits on parental income, allowing wealthy families to qualify for the money. Kate Silvera, an elementary school art teacher in Indian Wells, opposes the initiative, arguing that similar programs in other states have primarily benefited the wealthy.
For example, New Hampshire, 89% of the students that received the money were already in private schools. So these funds are really just a coupon for students already in private education, and we shouldn't be pulling money from our public school education system.
Silvera also thinks public funds should not go to schools that don't have to accept every student. She points out that private schools are free to consider factors like race, religion, test scores, and income level, and they don't have to provide special education.
Taxpayer funds for education need to support every child. Once you start discriminating against any group, it doesn't support everybody, and that's not the purpose of our state-funded and federally funded public education.
The proposal would prohibit the state from requiring certain curriculum, disciplinary, or teacher credentialing policies as a condition of funding. Its backers must deliver more than 874,000 signatures no later than May of next year in order to be on the November 2024 ballot. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
This is John Tidwell with East County Magazine's People Power Report. Home Start held a march and rally in downtown El Cajon on November 16th to call for more housing for homeless youths, as well as funding to get kids off the streets and stop a cycle of lifelong homelessness. Since 1972, Home Start has been following its mission to ensure that every child in San Diego has a safe, stable, and nurturing home. But Home Start doesn't just help kids, they help families and the homeless in general. Home Start is the primary outreach in our East County region, serving more than 15,000 San Diegans in need of services. Marchers held protest signs that read, 28,428 unaccompanied homeless children and youth in California, and more affordable housing for our youth. They ended their march in front of City Hall, just across the street from one of their outreach locations. Laura Tancredi-Baezzi, CEO of Home Start, says the group is shining a light on youth homelessness during November, which is National Runaway and Homeless Youth Prevention Month nationwide. A national survey on youth homelessness found that every year in the United States, around 4.2 million youths up to age 24 experience homelessness. Federal statistics show that California remains the state with the highest population of people experiencing homelessness and also has the most unaccompanied homeless youths. Tancredi Baezi says California has at least 30,000 young people who are homeless, including at least 1,500 on the streets in San Diego County. She adds, "We think it's an undercount because young people are often invisible couch surfing. They blend in and try to keep it a secret and are often escaping domestic violence and sexual exploitation." Providing housing to teens and young adults up to age 24 in need can prevent future problems, since half of the homeless have become chronically homeless. Home Start has a contract with San Diego State University to provide housing for San Diego State University students with units in La Mesa. Tancredi Baezi says, "More housing units are needed, especially in East County, which has the second highest number of homeless in the county, after the city of San Diego. Yet East County has one of the region's lowest rate of resources," she notes. Abigail Vasquez, a young person helped by Home Start's Housing Our Youth program, read a poem that she wrote titled "Survival of the Fittest." It told her story of growing up witnessing drug abuse, homelessness, and neglect. The poem is a testament to changing that pattern in her life and finding the road to success thanks to this Home Start program. Vasquez told East County Magazine that after completing the program, she is now giving back to help other young people in similar situations, especially homeless youths. El Cajon Councilmember Michelle Mitchell spoke to Vasquez after the rally to encourage her, sharing that she has a similar life story. Later, Mitchell told East County Magazine that her childhood was filled with neglect, abuse, and drugs. Despite all of that, she was able to escape that life here in the East County once she was 18. Mitchell revealed that after her mother started using and selling drugs, she ended up with a heart condition and was taken away in an ambulance. Mitchell was only 14 years old at the time, with three younger siblings. Mitchell described searching for her mother because, even though she was the reason why we were all in this, when you're 14 and you've been verbally abused since you were young, you still want your mom because you don't know anything else. The council member spoke about the homeless situation and the lack of affordable housing in the county, stating, "We have more people going into homelessness than are getting out." Mitchell wants to see compassionate solutions to the complex problem of homelessness, including building tiny homes for transitional housing and more money for Section 8 housing to help low-income people, which now has a waiting list of up to 20 years. Tancredi Baezi with Home Start says the public can help with this important cause by volunteering and by making donations. You can learn more or get involved at homestart.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
I have a high degree of confidence that Americans will be involved. There are nine of them, but Americans' involvement will be an imperative, I think, for the president, rightly so.
Democratic Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal tells NBC the U.S., Israel, and Hamas are near a deal to release Americans and others taken hostage last month. The rumored Qatar-brokered deal for 50 of the 240 held could come in exchange for a pause in fighting. Activists nationwide continue to push President Joe Biden and his party to call for an immediate ceasefire. More than 2,000 protesters shut down the California State Democratic Convention in Sacramento Saturday.
We will not vote. We will not canvass. We will not give our money to any elected official who does not say ceasefire now.
The cancellation overshadowed endorsing a candidate to replace the late Senator Dianne Feinstein in the March primary. Representatives Adam Schiff and Katie Porter oppose a ceasefire. Representative Barbara Lee supports one and won the convention vote, narrowly beating Schiff. Fulfilling a promise to his far-right members, House Speaker Mike Johnson says he'll release thousands of hours of footage from the January 6th Capitol attack.
We are trying to hold you up with this now. We need to hold the doors of the Capitol.
More than 40,000 hours will gradually be posted on a House website. Johnson says it'll let Americans see for themselves what happened. A federal judge says North Dakota's legislative redistricting violates the Voting Rights Act by breaking up the power of the Native American vote. Turtle Mountain Chippewa Chairman Jamie Azur tells KFYR-TV the ruling's a major win for tribal nations.
It may seem like a simple redistricting case, but it's just an example of nations coming together to challenge when we feel wronged.
North Dakota lawmakers have until just before Christmas to draw new maps. At least 30 federal lawsuits across the country challenge legislative districts. Massachusetts voting rights groups say last year, two-thirds of provisional ballots, often from low-income Black and Latinx voters, were rejected for technical flaws. Cheryl Clyborn Crawford with Mass Vote says under same-day voter registration, election officials could clear much of that up.
Instead of turning people away, which discourages voters, it would encourage and empower voters.
Washington, D.C. and half of the states allow same-day registration. Former First Lady Rosalynn Carter has died at the age of 96. Carter was known as a staunch advocate for mental health and the elderly. Beloved wife of former President Jimmy Carter, Rosalynn visited more than 100 countries, built houses with Habitat for Humanity, and promoted public health and democracy across the developing world.
There's so many opportunities, and if I don't use the influence I have to help those people who need help, I think that's a terrible waste.
I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
A small congregation of Ukrainian-American Catholics who make Santee their new home once the church they have long planned is built in about a year. For local Ukrainian Americans, whose homeland is war-torn since the Russian invasion began, construction of a church here symbolizes establishing roots in their new home in San Diego's East County. The parish, St. John the Baptizer, now holds its services in San Diego's North Park neighborhood. The parish purchased the lot at Carlton Oaks Drive and Pike Street in Santee back in 2018. In February 2022, when Russia invaded Ukraine, local Ukrainian immigrants held a candlelight vigil on the site of their future church. November 8th, the Santee City Council unanimously approved a conditional use permit for the gold-domed church and connecting meeting hall for the applicants, technically a part of the Ukrainian Church of Chicago. The issue that prompted concern from the council members was parking. The plan calls for a church with 76 seats and only 19 parking spaces. Assuming not everyone is car sharing or taking Ubers, it didn't seem as if it would suffice. Vice Mayor Laura Koval said she hoped overflow vehicles wouldn't park at the Carlton Oaks Plaza shopping center across the street, where spaces are already at a premium. Keith Kroger, the owner of the center, in a letter to the council, said because many of the center's tenants, including the library, a dance studio, and martial arts studio, have their busiest hours on the weekend, the lot is usually filled, with some cars even parking on unmarked and red-painted areas. He wrote, "I believe this church would make parking worse and prevent parents and children from the community the opportunity to patronize the Santee Public Library," then asked the city council to deny the permit. Luke Miller's great-grandparents were part of the original congregation and emigrated to this country in 1912. He told council members that the parish's intention is to be good neighbors and said the church would hold services only on Sundays for about 3 hours with around 50 congregants. Catherine George, a consultant to the church, said the project meets all the city's codes, including parking and height limitations. St. John's is meant to be a small neighborhood church. She said, "They do not have lavish or large events typical of Western weddings and the like. Instead, the focus is on small religious services." The parish has spent more than $500,000 so far, with more than $1 million more to prepare the land and build the church and hall, according to George. Councilman Ron Hall urged the church leaders to work out a deal with the Santee School District, which operates Carlton Hills Elementary School across Pike Street, but is not in session on Sundays. Miller agreed that he would do so, prompting Hall to make a motion to approve the permit, which was approved unanimously by the Santee City Council. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
This is Helen Ofield from the Lemon Grove Historical Society bringing you the sounds of history. It's the holiday season here in Southern California, and memories of Christmas past keep bubbling up along with the champagne. Up and down the West Coast, even over the northern border into British Columbia, the weather tended to be kinder and gentler, just like now. The older we get, the more we think back to those childhood Christmases. So here we go, back to once upon a time. On the eve of St. Nicholas, I am inevitably reminded of those Christmases decades ago, when Victoria, British Columbia, was filled with carolers, holly wreaths, punch bowls, and secrets. We children prayed for snow in that mild climate, pleading with the Almighty to at least send clouds and drizzle, the better to make the Christmas houses even cozier and merrier. Resolutely, we shut our eyes to the multiple Santa Clauses dotting the street corners. We knew that only one, the true bestower of rewards, because of course we were perfect children, and bestower of loot, would crash about in the chimney, consume the brandy and fruitcake left for him, then depart with Donner and Blitzen, leaving a trail of marvelous, knobby packages in his wake. For my father, Christmas meant extra work at his dairy, which was also well-staffed with many Italian immigrants. He used to deliver milk on a wagon pulled by a brown horse aptly dubbed Brownie. My brother and I took turns on December weekends, aiding with the delivery of eggnog, whipping cream, butter, and ice cream. Everything was real then. Everything was fattening. It also felt so strange to rise before dawn, eat huge bowls of oatmeal, pack immense ham sandwiches, then drive away in the dark and silent dawn. When we sat on Brownie, a benumbed individual in a straw hat, whose leaden saunter belied, I was sure, a heart of fire, his sole reaction was a doleful gaze over one shoulder. Yet, We felt daring and powerful to be seated so far from the ground, and our hearts leapt up when Brownie shifted position, or as we later described it to school chums, leaped and galloped forward while we hung on for dear life. Along the milk route, mothers used to give us cookies and tell us we were responsible children. Their own children turned green with envy as we strode past, clinking bottles for effect, and intoning, "Here's your extra order, Mrs. Robinson." Father used to whisper the customers' names to us as we approached, so we could give things a personal touch. But when we got to Con Maggiore's house, Father would break into the Toreador song from Carmen, giving it his best tenor tremolo. Con's bass would boom from the kitchen, and they'd finish the chorus together on the back stoop, waving eggnog aloft to the delight of the urchins, who instantly gathered. Every year at Christmas, the dairy company threw a huge party for the employees and their families. This bacchanal was always held in the Knights of Pythias Hall, which was full of huge, brass-studded leather chairs and crepe-papered tables loaded with edibles. We never, ever saw any Pythian knights and kept wondering when we'd hear the clank of armor. We never dreamed that somebody's portly father, sitting next to us in the hall, paper plate on knee, was such a legendary creature. As we grew older, my sisters and I would entertain with song and dance, invariably noting brats that we were, that we compared very favorably to the other performers in the talent show. But I recall one disastrous number. Mother dressed me in a baggy gown and stuffed it fore and aft with pillows, so I would resemble a prototype opera singer. Clutching a picture of an unshaven, cigar-chomping sergeant, I sang My Hero from The Chocolate Soldier in ringing falsetto tones to show I was an old-fashioned, whooping crane-type singer. But nobody in the audience knew what was so funny, and neither did I, so I exited to thundering silence. I was 13 and crushed. Various dairymen, who were good sports, took turns every Christmas being Santa Claus. One evening, Father told us he'd been chosen for the role. He loved this sort of thing. On the big day, Father's arrival from the North Pole was signaled by mad jingling of bells, and all the children at the party began shrieking with excitement. Throughout the gift-giving ceremony, he kept up a steady stream of jolly prattle as each child hurtled forward for a package. As we approached, there were elaborate winks from other parents as Father rumbled, "Now, who can this be?" Everybody got a mesh stocking filled with whistles and yo-yos. Boys received leather stamping sets or dump trucks. Girls got embroidery sets, wash me, spank me, change me dollies, or weaving sets, advising us to make a sampler, just like mother's, who had never made one in her life. But I dreaded the abruptness of ending it all the day after Christmas. The grand festival had arrived and departed in a trice, and all we could do was grow a bit older. It was all so funny and silly and amateur and affectionate. But it bred whimsy and fancy in our souls, that same fancy that prompts children to think a chair, a locomotive, an old curtain, a trailing court dress, or a man in a red flannel suit, the real Santa Claus. It is the part that is the essence of play. It is easily damaged, as all precious things are. Each Christmas, one hopes that the child in us will survive the commercial onslaught and retain not the material trappings, but the meaning of the rituals, for everyone, no matter who, no matter where. For the Sounds of History, I'm Helen Ofield.
This is Miriam Raftery, and I'm here with John Fastier. This holiday season, if you're looking for some safe conversation topics to liven up your next gathering with friends and family without bringing up politics, here are some fascinating holiday trivia facts to share.
Candy canes are stocking stuffer traditions, but they were actually invented to keep children quiet during church.
In medieval times, the main dish served at Christmas dinners was peacock, not turkey.
Jingle Bells was originally written for Thanksgiving, not Christmas.
Christmas trees were once considered pagan symbols, but today 350 million of them are grown on Christmas tree farms in the U.S., where 98% of all Christmas trees sold are now sustainably raised. A Christmas tree grows for 15 years on average before it is cut.
The world's tallest snowman was actually a snow woman, standing over 122 feet tall. She was built by townspeople in Bethel, Maine, with wreaths as eyes, skis for eyelashes, tires as buttons, and trees for her arms.
According to the Bible, magi, also known as wise men, brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the Christ child born in a manger. The term magi derives from ancient Greece and Persia, where it meant magicians or astronomers.
The magi reportedly followed the Star of Bethlehem. To this day, scientists are not sure what that star was. Possibly a conjunction of two planets, a comet, a supernova, or something else that lit up the sky.
The first electric Christmas lights to light up the sky were invented by Thomas Edison.
Hanukkah is also called the Festival of Lights. A menorah is lit for 8 nights and traditionally placed in a window to remind the outside world of the miracle of oil that burned for 8 days after rededication of a temple in Jerusalem.
Originally, the only Hanukkah gifts were small amounts of money known as gelt, a tradition that was designed to teach children the importance of charity.
The first Hanukkah party in the White House was hosted by President George W. Bush, a tradition that continues to this day.
The most popular Christmas song of all times, White Christmas, was written by Irving Berlin, a Jewish songwriter.
Americans spend 6 times more on gifts than food during the holiday season, but they are also more apt to donate to charities at this time of year.
Santa Claus would have to travel at over 5 million miles per hour in order to deliver presents to all of the children on Earth in a single night.
The tradition of making New Year's resolutions was started by the ancient Babylonians, who actually celebrated the New Year in springtime. The most common resolution was to return borrowed farm equipment.
Roman Emperor Julius Caesar established the Julian calendar that we use today, with January 1st as the first day of the new year.
Today, the most common resolution is to lose weight. Not surprising, since the average Christmas dinner in America contains over 7,000 calories.
Dropping a ball in Times Square to ring in the new year began in 1907 because fireworks had been banned as too dangerous. The ball has been a New Year's tradition ever since, except in 1942 and 1943 when it was canceled due to wartime restrictions.
The first ball was made of iron and wood, adorned with 100 light bulbs. It weighed 700 pounds. Nowadays, the ball weighs nearly 12,000 pounds and shimmers with 2,668 Waterford crystals.
All year long, visitors to Times Square in New York City write their New Year's wishes on pieces of confetti. At the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve, those wishes are included in over a ton of confetti that showers the crowd gathered to ring in the new year. And now from all of us at East County Magazine, to all of you, we wish you a very Merry Christmas, joyous Hanukkah, and a Happy New Year.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Starting January 1st, California's ban on the sale of new gas-powered mowers and blowers will go into effect, and experts say the transition will require money, education, and tolerance. It won't be illegal to use existing gas-powered landscaping tools, and the existing inventory will be sold until it runs out. Dan Mabe is the founder of the American Green Zone Alliance, a group that helps landscapers, companies, and public agencies make the switch.
I was a worker with gas and electric. Definitely when you don't have to breathe fumes, electric is zero emission at the source of operation, and the vibration is much less on your body, so you feel less fatigued at the end of the day.
Assembly Bill 1346 created a $30 million CORE program and fund to give landscapers big discounts on new equipment, which is more expensive than gas models. But the money is running low in some categories. Check the CORE website for a current list of funds still available. Mabe's company does a lot of workforce engagement, letting landscapers try out the electric models to learn how it affects their business.
Because we understand the workload efficiency differences, we can speak honestly about it. These folks need the outreach, the education, the information, and they need to be afforded the chance to try the electric technology as it stands now. And they are pleasantly surprised.
California is home to more than 51,000 one-person landscaping businesses. According to the California Air Resources Board, operating a commercial gas-powered lawnmower for an hour emits as much pollution as driving a 2016 Toyota Camry about 300 miles. And for a leaf blower, an hour of operation produces the equivalent emissions of driving the car 1,100 miles. This story was produced with original reporting by Matthew Miranda for the Sacramento Bee. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
If you're purchasing an artificial holiday tree, look for the label Fire Resistant. When purchasing a live tree, be sure to check for freshness. When setting up the tree at home, keep it away from fireplaces and radiators. Heated rooms dry live trees out rapidly, so be sure to keep the stand filled with water and use only lights that have been tested for safety by a recognized testing laboratory. Check each set of lights, new and old, for broken or cracked sockets, frayed or bare wires, and throw out any damaged sets. Replace burned out bulbs promptly with the same wattage. Use no more than 3 standard size sets of lights for each single extension cord. Don't use electric lights on a metallic tree. The tree can become charged with electricity from faulty lights, and a person touching a branch could actually be electrocuted. Turn off all lights when you go to bed or leave the house. The lights could short out and start a fire. Never use lighted candles on a tree in homes with small children. Take special care to avoid sharp or breakable decorations. Keep ornaments with small removable parts out of the reach of children or pets. And don't use tree preservatives if you have pets or small children because drinking the water could be toxic. Happy holidays and stay safe.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, AK Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.